introverted noise.
Hurry up, Daddy.
Let's do it.
5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he puts
look at this!
Jamal Williams! Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right. We are back once again. More instant reaction on the Climbing the Pocket podcast from this week 3 debacle. And full disclosure, this game is so bad. We're not even waiting for the clock to hit zero. Things are counting down in the fourth quarter right now. And we just had to go ahead and get these takes off because, let's be honest. The Vikings are coming back. This game was decided a really long time ago. So we're going to go ahead, get these things recorded, and then get on to the rest of our days. And also, we have a little bit of an audible with things here. We're going ahead where we're joining forces with the man, the myth, the legend, the man who gets us all fired up before game time, Flip Mozzie. How you doing, man? How's it going? How you surviving?
I guess I'm doing all right. I talk all this. I try to share some positivity, and y'all finally bring me in right after a terrible loss.
Yeah, we need you here. Miles is on the way to the airport right now, so he wasn't able to join. JR's got some stuff to do at work, and I figure you'd be some good balance because, you know, Yink have been minding his business for a long time here. But, I was a little worried about what this podcast might be like if I didn't find some kind of a balance in here. So, I called the most optimistic man I know to see if he could come in here and balance things out when we get into the reactions from this game.
Yeah, I'll do what I can, but this is bad. This is bad.
And Saxy Prince, my man, how you doing? How's it going over there? How's your tea?
Well, this time it's Ocean Spray apple juice.
Okay, so, okay.
the only thing I really got to say is, I got a lot of things to say. Some of those things I'm still minding my own business, but the things I want to say is, it's becoming a trend. This is Zimmer's fifth year as Vikings head coach. And every season we have one game that, whether it be it should be a win or it should be an easy win, or whether it should be a team that, for the most part, we should probably come up with the victory. We just don't show up. We get blown out. Having an Indy a couple years ago, years before that, it was the Seahawks. It continues to happen year in, year out, and you start to ask yourself, where is this fundamental weakness in Mike Zimmer's defense, or just like the team in general, that allows at least one of these games to happen every single year? Now, I had a couple buddies who were just like, the Vikings really needed this because, we needed to get smacked in the mouth or humiliated, and I just don't. That line of thinking doesn't make any sense to me, because I don't feel like good teams ever need to be like humbled per se in order for them to play better. Like, your professional football team, you should always be striving to get better and whatnot. So for me, the loss hurts, but at the end of the day, I don't know if this is going to wake up the Vikings per se, because I think there's still a lot of fundamental issues that they have on both sides of the field, on both sides of the ball, excuse me. Oh, actually in all three phases, to be honest. So yeah, man, it's not all bad. If you're going to drop a game, thank God it's against Buffalo, non division and non conference game. But at the same time, it's like, whew, it is 27-6 right now. It's not looking good.
I'm just hugging everybody on the sideline.
Oh, yeah, it was terrible. And Flip, though, so this game, one of the things that I definitely did notice, and I didn't put it out on the timeline, but I'm glad I have you on, because one of the things you talked about on your pod when you were talking about us kind of signing Kirk Cousins, becoming official, what we could look forward to with him as the quarterback, one thing that you did bring up more than once is the fact that, Kirk Cousins has been prone to put the ball on the ground when he's put under pressure, and this seemed to be the game where kind of all of that regressed to his kind of career mean in terms of getting hit and putting the ball on the ground. I guess, what are your thoughts on kind of what you saw, not just from the fumbles, but from Kirk Cousins in general, from the start of the game, and then you know, obviously things got out of hand, and it's tough to evaluate. But I guess what were your thoughts on the Vikings quarterback in this game?
I mean, he was bad. He was just all around bad this game. The plan was for him to come out passing. We didn't have Dalvin Cook. We had all that success against Green Bay. And just the first fumble, he's holding on to the ball too long, gets hit from behind. Sure, you can say the second fumble's on Riley Reiff, but that interception's on him. He's missing passes to both Diggs and Thielen down the field. I mean, he's got to play better than that.
And I saw the same thing. And this is something that, you know, again, we've talked about, you know, some on the timeline, you know, I joke about it, you know, lemon booty and all the rest, but I don't know. There's just something sometimes with Kirk, just he feels tight out there. He's not loose. He's not playing the way that you want to see him, not playing with the confidence, I guess, that you'd want to see him play with. Some of that, I guess, you know, you can attribute to playing behind a shaky offensive line, but I mean, I don't know that Buffalo's, you know, defensive line is better than what we were dealing with in versus Green Bay last week or even the week before. So I don't know. Like, there was just something that didn't seem right from the very beginning. He just was off. And, you know, these games happen. It's one game. I know that the general refrain through Vikings fandom right now is here we go again and the world is ending and all the rest. It's one game. It's a really, really bad game. It's a super embarrassing game just based on what the Bills had looked like through 2 weeks and what we'd look like through 2 weeks. But, yeah.
You know, it's like kind of my worst fear about Kirk Cousins is he's just kind of – he kind of reminds me of Tony Romo in a bit when things are good, you know, things are going great, he's able to spur on the team. When things are going bad, he's not able to make anything happen. And I thought after last week we had kind of put that all behind him because we just, you know, going down that like that to Green Bay and having him fight us back to tie a game that we should have won, I thought this is a guy who can overcome some adversity. But there was none of that today. He couldn't put the team on his shoulders. He couldn't, you know, will the team to at least a better offense when they needed it. And now he's just putting up junk time stats. It's not good enough.
Yeah, and that's my kind of ongoing fear with Kirk Cousins. And that's what my my buddy Basha, who's a Skins fan, he's always kind of called out that this is something you have to worry about with Kirk Cousins, is in that. So even and it's reared its head, I think, in all three games so far this season. So San Francisco, we had many opportunities to put that game away. And you saw when we had opportunities to put that game away, it looked like Kirk got tight in those situations, had a string of bad passes, some passes that could have been picked off. The Green Bay game, when he was down big, again, he's playing loose, not a big deal. You're playing with kind of house money at that point. You throw an interception when you're down. No one's going to blame the loss on you at that point because the team's already down. He gets the team back to where the game is close, and then you see interception where we're kind of we're bailed out by the penalty. Another near interception. Again, some plays where he got a little tight in there. And in this game, just from the very beginning, with a game where the expectations were that he was supposed to go out there and just kind of run through this team from the beginning, he just seemed off, tight, putting the ball on the ground. And just nothing was really there. He didn't seem to have the confidence. And that's something that, it's you know, pop psychology is watching from home. But that's definitely something that it doesn't inspire confidence, I guess, for me coming from a fan's perspective. And Yinka, I know you're trying to remain positive, not be seen as a hater, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I guess beyond kind of what Flip and I have said, I guess, what were your thoughts? What was your perspective? What is it that you want to get off your chest as it pertains to kind of what happened in this game and how Kirk Cousins played?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I think I said it in our group DMs is one of the big concerns that I saw with Kirk when I watched his Washington tape was kind of the inability to improvise. And you could also see that when he came into training camp, when things started to break down, when his mechanics were off, when maybe wide receivers weren't help giving him the most help in certain situations. You really saw his frustration kind of come more outward. And he's a guy who likes his timing. He's a guy who likes his mechanics to be perfect. And when they're not, you're not going to see very much of that, you know, that second half or fourth quarter Kirk Cousins that we saw in Green Bay last week. this is this is the quarterback that I was warning against when we chose to go out and pay him $84 million. Because at the end of the day, he's going to, like, these lows in this, like, this low in this game for us to be really, truly a contender needed to be, like, this could be the only game that Kirk Cousins plays like this. Now, granted, it's not all, he's not all to blame. I mean, Riley Reiff was getting beat by Hughes the entire game. Both our tackles were not playing well. I mean, granted, Rashad Hill went down with an injury. O'Neal had to come in. There's some miscommunications on a few stunts that the Bills ran and whatnot. Uncharacteristic drops. Obviously, there was that one deep shot that Kirk put on. You know, it's just you can't blame Kirk Cousins all, but you also have to understand that, you know, with the guy who keeps touting himself as a leader, the team's kind of rallied around that mantra that Kirk's this leader. You really want to see him be able to. When we were down 17-0, there was a nagging suspicion this game's over, and then they went up, you know, and then they went up 20-0, and then, you know, 27-0, and it's one of those things where we are sometimes going to be in a place where the defense honestly is going to not play well, and the expectation is that this offense can make up for that. But right now that we've seen in this last three games, the offense is not always capable of doing that. Now, we had a miracle fourth quarter comeback victory, but over the course of a game, like, you need that to happen throughout the entire game. You know, if the defense is going to crap the bed, you want them to be going blow for blow on the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, I don't put the blame completely on Kirk on this. I think it's only the third game of the season. I'm not really as concerned that this, you know, our Super Bowl hopes are gone. I just think that these are things that need to get corrected and need to get addressed immediately. You upgraded at kicker, you upgraded on the defense, you upgraded, you know, in a lot of different areas. Now it's time to put all of that together. John DeFilippo is going to have to, you know, he's going to have to tap into that fourth quarter Kirk that we saw last week and throughout the entire game. We know that his offensive line is not the greatest, but he's going to have to find some way to scheme around that. So,
give Kirk any help today either, though. That's like Riley Reiff was garbage. He's got to be better. Rudolph has to be used more. Like, give the man like a running game or some sort of safety valve, something we can use to get the offense on schedule when Kirk's having a rough day. And I just don't see any of that. We're supposed to have at least that, even if Kirk's having a bad day.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's one of the things that I, you know, Miles, he couldn't be here, but he called out, you know, in the group chat is the lack of really creativity. Like, if you know you can't pass block, you know you can't just go and you know, three-step, five-step, seven-step, Kirk's going, you know, straight back in the pocket where the pass rushers on the other team kind of know where to tee off. And yeah, maybe Kirk's not the best when he's outside of the pocket, but you still got to move the launch point, do some different things to give him some time. So Riley Reiff isn't, you know, in a speed contest against Jerry Hughes, because he's going to lose that every time. Also, maybe chip someone, put another tight end out there, do something to give him some help versus just have him get, you know, slaughtered over and over and over again. And this is something, another point that Prince brought up. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, Adam and Josh were calling out that people, you know, again, called out with them. And, you know, Adam and Josh got beat up on Twitter for it, for, you know, calling out that, you know, the defense hasn't been as stout and some other things there. And there are some other cracks in this, on this team. And we expected the offense would be a bit of a work in progress. New quarterback, shuffling offensive line, new offensive coordinator. I guess, what are y'all's thoughts on what's going on with the defense? Today is tough to evaluate. They had a lot of short fields. But, I mean, right now, obviously, very small sample. But from a points given up perspective, I mean, we're a middle of the pack defense right now. I guess, Flip, anything that you're seeing out there just that is a red flag concern for you in terms of what's happening with the Vikings defense?
I mean, I'm probably a bit of an apologist on this. You look at their success rate, they're middle of the road. But last week, block punt, otherwise they're holding Aaron Rodgers to 22 points. This week, I mean, best they can do with those two fumbles is hold Buffalo to 6 points. They give up 10 points on those drives instead. you gotta put up scores in the 20s. And for this game to end at 27, sure, it got really bad in the second half, but you make this competitive, you put some pressure on the young quarterback to make even more plays in the second half, and let's go. Let's see if he can do it. But, I mean, we got to stop getting this defense short fields and turnovers that just put them already in scoring range. Get them with their ears pinned back, being aggressive, and I think that'll help a lot. I mean, special teams is bad today, too.
Oh, man. And just because, you know, we are doing this kind of in real time, I just saw that Jimmy G was carted off, and that is terrible.
Yeah, it was a non-contact knee injury, so, it's not looking good, to be honest.
Oof. Mm. Well, that's not fun. That's not fun at all. Saxy Prince, what else did you take away? I mean, this game, there's really not much in the way of, like, you know, especially, you know, at first blush, I don't really know how much we're going to pull out of this when you look at it again. I mean, it seems like it's a pretty obvious thing in that you need to be able to block somebody if you're going to have an offense that functions. And some of the things that we were seeing in terms of, pass blocking efficiency or even just pass blocking stats that people were looking at weren't really telling the whole story, because Kirk Cousins was getting the ball out to the point that Yinka made. Kirk's at his best when his back foot hits the ground and the ball can come out. His first read's there. He can throw it. That's part of the reason Adam Thielen has been his best friend. He can win those quick in-breaking routes from the slot. Kirk gets back foot hits, balls out to Thielen, balls out to Rudolph. You know, take a couple shots to Diggs. But if teams are able to make those throws tough for us, it's looking like it's going to be rough for us this season. Prince, you think Elfline coming back will help with things, maybe shuffle? I don't remember hearing Compton's name today, which is usually a good thing from an offensive lineman. What are we going to do with this offensive line to make it better? Or what would you like to see from Flip to, you know, not Flip on the Pod. Flip on the Pod has no power over our play calling. But John DeFilippo, from a play calling perspective, to make it better especially going against the Rams on a short week.
Yeah, that's difficult. I mean, that especially because you're going against the Rams defensive line, you're going to have Aaron Donald, who's going to be right in that middle where I think arguably some of our weakest spots are. Having Elfline, who hasn't really had very much, off-season work, I'd almost rather have him at left guard and have Brett Jones at center, so we have a little bit of, he gets a little bit more time to kind of build that strength back up. It's hard. I don't know. An offensive line that can't pass block, really can't run block either. I mean, it as you say all the time, Jason, it really demoralizes an offense. And when you have a guy like Kirk Cousins who needs those things to be working well for him to play to what we know his ceiling can be, I mean, it's frustrating. As far as John DeFilippo, I there's only been three games, so I can't really put as much blame on him. Because, I mean, we saw Pat Shurmur last season be able to find ways to scheme around Case Keenum's weaknesses and the weaknesses that were the offensive line. You know, moving the pocket a little bit more, making, getting the running backs in the space a lot more. I think Dalvin Cook not being in there definitely hurt in terms of not really having an outlet that Kirk could find. You know, all these three-yard dump-offs really weren't helping either. The defense in terms of... I don't know. It's Trey Waynes went down and weirdly the defense continued to regress. I mean, Mike Hughes at times did not look great. I mean, he almost got beat on a deep ball, and the only reason why he missed is just the wide receiver just let it go through his fingers. I mean, there are times where even Harrison Smith looks pedestrian. It's hard.
Have y'all seen the clip of Trey White coming through the tunnel?
No.
Reenacting that you like that from Kirk Cousins. I can't even be mad at that.
That boy is good though, man.
I can't even be mad at that. Oh man. Yeah, he went out there. He balled today.
It's just like the defense, it looked like we tried to contain him in the middle of the field and just couldn't. They beat us on the edge a bunch of times. Josh Allen beat us on the edge. That long pass, that touchdown to Kroon was on the edge, and I don't know what's going on there. You gotta do a better job of just scheming, and it's been a question both in the last few weeks is, are we running a scheme that our players are excelling at? It seems like a lot of our best players are either silent or not making plays. I mean, Harrison Smith had two silent weeks in a row here. Anthony Barr, just a terrible game. Even I can't defend that. Eric Kendricks is silent. And Daniil Hunter is the only really defender who made a play today.
But as Arif said, I mean, we shut the Bills out in the second half.
Which I mean, I know that's funny, obviously, but I mean, it does show, and part of the reason Arif was said that was because there was someone in his mentions who basically said that Zimmer's not great at halftime adjustments. With, I mean, arguably, in my opinion, Zimmer's one of the best at second half adjustments. But I mean, it's when you're looking at, when you're trying to find, you know, silver linings and stuff, it is good that the Vikings defense still return back to the defense that we know can be a top five defense. And the issue, in my opinion, is special teams is a big thing. You saw how important Marcus Sherrills is still to this team. I mean, you know, there are times where Mike Hughes was taking the ball out and, you know, he was only getting to like the 17 to 20 yard line instead of just taking the 25. You know, it's that kind of stuff where it's like, you wonder why we keep around Marcus Sherrills. It's little things like that. And then not having an offense that's looked completely competent with, honestly, probably the best wide receiver duo in the league, it's frustrating. So, I mean, it's a short week. I think that they can get things adjusted, though.
I think it's a great thing that it's a short week. I mean, I see a path forward for the defense getting better. The offense, we've got to have Dalvin Cook back. And it's great that we're playing the Rams on Thursday. It's time to get up, get focused for a game, and go out there with your hair on fire. You know, let's go out there. If we had to wait till Sunday, I'd have some more fears, but we know we have to get it together now.
Poor Anthony Barr. His I can't imagine what his PFF grade is going to be after. I don't even know who was going to have a good PFF grade on the defense. Maybe Daniil Hunter.
Somehow fans started hating on Anthony Barr. He just like took that scapegoat title from Trey Waynes, and I don't know when it happened, but it's amazing, man.
Oh no, I have no beef with Anthony Barr, but this game was bad. Oh, yeah. Oh my goodness, like he just couldn't do anything that just was not awful in this game, which obviously fueled it's gonna fuel that hate through this week. I know our man Realistic Randy had some thoughts both on the twitter.com and on Facebook about but Anthony Barr, I imagine he'll be sounding off when he's able to get in front of a microphone and the camera here with some choice words for Anthony Barr and how he played. But that was awful. I don't even know what else really there is to say about this one other than it was terrible.
We have I just gotta watch another game, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna go watch another game. Yeah, wanted to get this thing recorded as quickly as possible so I can go get the taste of this awful game out of my mouth. Maybe watch a game that will be good for another team or something.
Saints Falcons in overtime right now.
Yeah, you know, I need for Julio to maybe catch a touchdown for me or something. Help my DraftKings lineup out. I'll take responsibility for this Vikings performance, you know, because I started. I went with Latavius Murray and the Vikings defense and in one of my DraftKings lineups, and obviously
I didn't wear my Harrison Smith jersey either, so it's not just on you, Jason.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll all take this. It's on us as fans for all the things we didn't do. We let the team down. But yeah, that's it. That's all. This game was awful. There's really not much else to say about this. We will probably rewatch and on a quick turnaround get the analysis and preview for the next game out. Flip, thanks for coming in. Short notice, no prep, coming in here to share your thoughts with us. And if you're not doing it already, make sure you're following Flip on Twitter, at FlipMozzie. And that's it. We'll talk to you guys soon. Have a good one.